We sometimes hear some Christians saying they want to be able to hear the voice of God. We don't know their motives for this wish, but unsurprisingly, this longing is strongest among those who have just been born again. This desire typically wanes through the years. I say unsurprisingly because that is my observation among Christians, and even from my personal experience. This article will attempt to investigate why this is happening and how this enthusiasm can be restored if one wishes to. This is because I believe the God of creation loves to communicate with his creatures, and the Bible tells us how he does this. If the Creator desires to communicate with us, why shouldn't we pay attention to him? Our text in John will help us understand how to reacquire the ability to hear God's voice. By saying this, I include all possible means that God employs in communing with us, his children, as he has demonstrated in the Bible. What I mean is that if the unchangeable God spoke in a small, still voice to Elisha, he can still do so today to anyone as he wishes. If he spoke through dreams to Solomon, Joseph, and even the pagan king Nebuchadnezzar, nothing should prevent him from doing so today. If he spoke to Abraham, Moses, and the patriarchs in an audible voice, I'm certain he hasn't lost his speaking voice today. He certainly speaks through nature, just as Paul declared in Romans. Before you zone out and label me a heretic, let me qualify what I said in the previous paragraph. 1. The canon of Scripture is closed. There will be no other revelation of doctrine from God that can be added to the Bible, much less taken from it. Therefore, 2. When God speaks to us today, these will either be in reproof, correction, or instruction in righteousness, addressed to us as an individual or to the church. Such messages will never counter the essential salvific doctrines of the Bible. There is no need for anyone to try to disprove the fact that God still conducts road to Damascus encounters with individuals whom he deems in drastic need of salvation and a change of heart. There are tons of testimonies of Muslims getting saved as God spoke to his people and gave them specific instructions that were part of a divine setup that resulted in the salvation of such Muslims who were in search of the truth. Stories are rife of Jesus revealing himself to individuals in Iranian homes, jails, or other places where persecution of Christians is rampant. When I hear of such testimonies, I cringe in shame at God, because that only means he found no man who was willing to do it. Certainly in Jerusalem, none of the believers dared to present the gospel to fire-breathing Saul. Jesus had to do it himself. Now let's go to our text in John 10, 1, 16. Truly, truly, I say to you, the one not entering through the door into the sheepfold, but going up by another way, that one is a thief and a plunderer. But the one entering through the door is the shepherd of the sheep. The doorkeeper opens to him, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he puts forth his own sheep, he goes in front of them, and the sheep follow him, because they know his voice. But they will not follow a stranger, never. But they will flee from him, because they do not know the voice of the strangers. Jesus spoke this allegory to them, but they did not know what it was which he spoke to them. Then Jesus again said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you that I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and plunderers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved, and will go in, and will go out, and will find pasture. The thief does not come, except that he may steal, kill, and destroy. I came that they may have life and may have it abundantly. I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd lays down his life on behalf of the sheep. But the hireling, not even being a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and forsakes the sheep and flees. And the wolf seizes them and scatters the sheep. But the hireling flees, because he is a hireling, and there is no care for him concerning the sheep. I am the Good Shepherd, and I know those that are mine, and I am known by the ones that are mine. Even as the Father knows me, I also know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep which are not of this fold. I must also lead those, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock, one shepherd. Before we digest this, we need to be aware that hearing God's clear voice happened only to Adam and Eve during their sinless state, and later on to Jesus, where God literally would come into the garden and speak with our first parents as friends. This fellowship was unbroken as long as they were in obedience. After their disobedience, this intimacy was broken, and they were evicted from the garden. After this, the Bible speaks about a few characters who pleased God, for example, Abel, whose offerings were accepted, and Enoch, who walked with God and was raptured. Then there was Abraham, and so on, and so forth. Our Lord Jesus, who walked in perfect obedience to the Father, had unbroken communion with him during his short time on earth. His humanity did not impair his spiritual union with the other persons of the Godhead. Here's what we can understand from the text. 1. The one entering through the door is the shepherd of the sheep. We need to watch the one entering the door. He is the shepherd. He is also the door. The door and the shepherd are one. The Son is one with the Father. Before Jesus' first advent, the religious Jews were watching for the door, because the promised Messiah who would save Israel would walk through it. The problem with the Jews was that their political and military experiences altered their image and expectation of the one who would walk through the door. The real door would be the fulfillment of what was spoken of by certain Old Testament prophets who described, albeit in mysterious ways, his supernatural conception, birth, and circumstances of his first coming. The real door was easy to miss and forget, because I believe the religious leaders had adulterated, perhaps unintentionally but erringly, the doctrine of the Messiah and his appearance. After all, there are more prophecies of Christ's second coming than the first and the second one are images of political and military victory over Israel's enemies. This is why many Jews were watching, and still are, for a door to open at the second coming, thereby rejected and still rejecting Jesus as the Messiah, because in their eyes, he failed to deliver the glories of the prophecies pertaining to the second coming. 2. The sheep hear his voice. When Jesus called the 12 individually, their spiritual instincts kicked in, and they immediately knew the authority of the one who called them to come and follow him. His words attracted them and ministered to them in a powerful way. The miracles he performed served as exhibits of the personality he claimed to be. Today, he speaks to the sheep collectively in church as a congregation through songs, preaching, and teaching. A true born-again Christian will not be easily fooled into following a false Christ and a false gospel, because real sheep hear his voice. 3. He calls his own sheep by name. The Holy Spirit speaks to the sheep individually and personally. The Holy Spirit imparts another view of the Scripture into our hearts that we can personally relate to. The Scriptures come to life in our hearts as we read, listen, and meditate upon them. we obtain personal insights into Scripture, meaning the Bible gives us specific or clear instructions regarding our personal situation. This is why we should take notes of these in our journal. Years later, as we review our journal, we are refreshed and encouraged to see how God has led us through our difficult times, for, and leads them out. He leads them out of the sheep pen. He is in front, not beside, nor behind the sheep. He goes before us because he wants us to see him with our spirit eyes. Because he is in front of us, he sees the future and will certainly not send us into certain harm or destruction. Because he wants us to follow him, he also expects us to avoid not being distracted, but keep our eyes on him. Peter sank because he looked away. This implies the sheep have to keep watching the shepherd and listening to his voice, or they will wander off and therefore be unable to hear him anymore. Jesus answered them and said, "My doctrine is not mine, but of the one who sent me. If anyone desires to do his will, he will know concerning the doctrine, whether it is of God or I speak from myself." John 7:16-17. Jesus is saying in that verse that his teachings are not just out of his humanity, but of the Father who sent him. He speaks to us, and he says, his doctrine will be proven to be not his as a human being, but the Father's. If you desire to do the Father's will, the doctrine will prove to you that I am indeed speaking his word, and not just me as a human being. So now, as we wrap up our discussion on hearing God's voice, tell me, which of the sheep has the greatest risk of wandering off? Those who are following farthest from him, because distance has made it difficult for them to hear his voice. Which of the sheep will find it easy to hear him? Naturally, those who are closest to him and following him. Therefore, the key to hearing God's voice is obedience to his word. This is because it is only by obedience that the word of God proves its veracity and reliability in the world we live in today.